We Talk Podcast presents
Welcome to the One Fall Podcast with your host Joshua Adam, William Arbuthnot, with the ultimate babyface, Mr. Joel Johnson.
Hi, how's it going?
I think we started the week off, Joel, in a pretty bad place. You know, I think if you listen to Sunday's pod, we kind of needed a, whatever the wrestling version is of Alcoholics Anonymous. We needed that for wrestling after Sunday.
Yeah.
And then Raw happened, and we were ready to go on a bender. And then SmackDown happened, and we're like, huh, things aren't so bad. And then Talking Smack happened, and we're like, wow, you know what? Things aren't that bad. And then CWC happened, and all was right with the world, and we're a lot happier now. We're in a better place.
Yep. I think there's a lot more happiness and joy. But, you know...
Because this is the first day that we haven't had to watch wrestling in almost a week.
Well, I watched wrestling today. My schedule's been a little bit... Like, yesterday I didn't watch any wrestling, so...
This is the first... Yeah, so we've switched. This is the first day in pretty much a week that I haven't had any wrestling on. I guess I didn't... Why? Because, you know what? I guess I didn't watch it Wednesday either. I guess I watched CWC today, so I guess still it never stops.
No, never does. And why stop there? I think we should jump right into the biggest bit of news this week.
So there's two big ones. There's one after SummerSlam, which we'll get into, but I think the one that started off big and then with the Forbes news story today has gotten even bigger, and that's the Daniel Bryan Miz segment on Talking Smack, which. Talking Smack, honestly, I've enjoyed more than Raw these past 2 weeks.
Yeah, there's an allure of the blue band, and Dave Meltzer has confirmed Vince is 100% in charge of SmackDown still, so...
Yeah.
It's interesting how a product can be night and day different.
I think with Talking Smack, it was kind of like what we liked from the draft special, where it was that loose shoot feel. Yeah. But it's a work with the loose shoot feel to it, so it's a work with realism to it. And you can definitely feel that, and you felt it on Talking Smack. I mean, even the Carmella and the Nikki Bella angle came off pretty good.
Yeah.
That could have been terrible, but they got it over rather well. The Usos come in, and every time the Usos actually get to talk, they come off tremendously.
Yeah.
Really liking what I've seen. From the Usos, but I mean, let's be realistic. The major storyline from there was Daniel Bryan and The Miz when Daniel Bryan called The Miz a cowardly wrestler, and The Miz then cut the biggest promo of his entire career with a side piece from Daniel Bryan, but I'll let you take the rest, Joel.
Yeah, I don't think I can do it any justice, so let's, with the magic of wonderful editing, let's insert little segment of it right here.
Here you go.
All the time for 10 plus years, I have never, never in my career ever have been injured. I don't get injured for 6 months to a year. I am here each and every week. But you sit there and call me a coward?
Yeah.
I'm the coward. Wait, let me tell you about a coward. Let me tell you about a guy who tells his WWE fans, the people that he loves, that he will be back. He promises them. I promise you, I will be back in 1 year's time to claim this title. But you didn't, Daniel, did you? But I'm the coward.
Okay,
I'm the one that doesn't love the fans.
If they would let me come back, I would come back.
Oh, if you would?
Yeah.
You would. You love that WWE ring. You love wrestling. You love being right in that wrestling ring. and you love wrestling, right? Well, yeah. Why don't you quit? Why don't you quit and go to the bingo halls with your indie friends?
Okay, I think you
then,
need to
huh?
calm. No, that's not, no, what, this, that's not this. What this show's
Me
about.
And the GM have this. Thank you very much, Renee. This is a great show, but we're talking here. I need to talk to you real quick because the fact is you're the one that.
So there was. You can. The one thing I loved about that segment was the Miz's passion. And I also loved on the side Maurice. Great acting by her.
Renee's
just looking
acting.
Like, Renee's acting too, but both the women being like just shocked, like, what is going on? What is going on here? Like, I can't believe that these two guys are going this crazy at each other. And we'll get to the Miz, but I think the biggest storyline in here is, look, me and Joel have a competitiveness with each other. When we predict something, we like to brag that we get it right.
Yeah.
Especially myself. Yeah. Joel's got a handful of things correct over the past few years. I mean, he is our defending One Fall champion for 4 months now for a reason.
I'm gonna beat Honky Tonk's record.
You're gonna beat it. You're gonna beat Paul's record over a year. However, I got one thing right when we did our special, which you can go back on the One Fall Pod Network and see our Daniel Bryan special. I did not think that this was going to be the last we'd ever see of Daniel Bryan. You said there's no chance. You said maybe the Indies, but even that you were hesitant on. And it comes out today. So Daniel Bryan had the line in there that the only reason that I can't fight you is because they won't clear me. Because for the longest time, we had thought that he had finally submitted. That, you know, he had these seizures and everything was bad and that he had finally submitted. And instead, guess what, Joel? Daniel Bryan opened the can of worms on this podcast that has talked about as much as CM Punk returning one day. We've now reopened that can of worms, that can on the shelf. We had it jarred. We had it sealed really good.
Yeah.
You know, had to hit the bottom a few times, but it's been reopened, and now we're talking about Daniel Bryan returning to the ring. Because Forbes has reported that WWE has not completely, quote-unquote, shut the door on Daniel Bryan returning to the ring.
See, and here's the other thing that I think we kind of forgot. And it's the realization, even when he came back as the GM and doing the CWC, guess what's not frozen anymore, Josh?
What's that?
His contract.
Right.
So, a guy that had, what, maybe 2 years left in his deal?
Mm-hmm.
Well, now you burned through a couple months, and it doesn't look like the end is near, so...
The other thing is, too, like, I love the line that The Miz had in the promo. There's many lines I like about The Miz. My favorite line was, if you love wrestling so much, then why don't you go and wrestle on the indies and quit WWE? That was a very powerful line.
Mm-hmm.
Because you think, like, yeah, why hasn't Bryan quit? You know, for all we love about Daniel Bryan, he's still doing the Total Divas and all those shows. So there's some part of him that loves the wrestling business, but I mean, let's be honest, he's a human being like all of us, and he still loves the WWE money.
Oh yeah, that WWE money is very hard to walk away from. And not only that, but there's one other big factor in all of this, and it's Brie Bella.
Right, and that's the total Bella side of things.
Yeah. It's going to be very interesting to see how this all plays out. Nothing's been confirmed, nothing from a Meltzer side.
But Forbes is a pretty reliable news source. They're the ones that broke the brand split story.
Yeah.
So Forbes is also the ones that said Kurt Angle was returning. So they've kind of shooting 50% right now. But Forbes is a pretty reliable actual news outlet. No disrespect to a Meltzer or any of them, but Forbes reports actual news. So having this Daniel Bryan story is a pretty big story. Now we're going to go back and forth about this, but do you feel comfortable with this? I think the thing for me is I'm not as sure as I'm as comfortable with hearing about the seizures, but are you comfortable if he can get cleared by their doctors again, even despite having the seizures in the past, would you be comfortable with Daniel Bryan back in the ring?
Well, here's the thing. I think ultimately it would just be one match. I think that's all.
But what if he does the one match, Joel, and everything's fine? Because you know how they are. Mick Foley, just one match. Ric Flair, in the past, just one match. And then these things, and same with Shawn Michaels. I think that's the best example, right? Where it's just like, oh, it's just one match, and then things start to escalate. And I wonder if whoever he faces, I mean, right now it looks like he would face The Miz, let's say, at WrestleMania. And he does the match, and he feels great. does things escalate from there is what I'm wondering.
It's definitely possible, and don't get me wrong, a guy that loves pro wrestling as much as Brian, mm-hmm. that itch would definitely return. But the biggest thing is, I would want this to be his last go, and I'd be perfectly fine with The Miz. There's history there. They're polar opposites of each other.
Mm-hmm.
And I mean,
the title he never really got to defend.
Yeah. Title he never got to
defend. The Intercontinental title. Yeah.
And I mean, he's a guy that, you know, never got to say goodbye properly.
Mm-hmm.
And I think against The Miz, in some weird way, that would be the proper way to say goodbye. Don't get me mm-hmm. wrong. If you told me that I could watch Daniel Bryan face AJ Styles, Samoa Joe, Shinsuke Nakamura, Seth Rollins, Balor,
Austin Aries,
all
Bobby
these
guys, Roode,
all these guys, it'd be fantastic.
Roderick Strong,
who appears to be on his way to the Fed, but
which we have the NXT tapings going on. Which I sorry to interrupt you there. We'll talk about the NXT tapings at the end of the show. So if you don't want spoilers for NXT, we're just going to tell you now that we're going to be talking about them at the very end of the show. But yeah. Continue, Joe.
I think ultimately the best thing to do is work the WWE, the work against the guy that has the most WWE style. Miz doesn't take a lot of risk. Miz doesn't do a lot of things that I would consider very risky for Brian. Skull crushing finale could be mm-hmm. something that would be a little but I think they could find a workaround there. It would solidify The Miz. It would elevate him to a new level, especially if he got the win over Brian.
For sure.
But ultimately, I don't think this is going to happen.
I would say, if percentage-wise, after the retirement, I think, 95% sure he was retired. I'm down to 90, so not by much. I'm still, I think there's a 10% chance maybe now, but I still think it's a pretty slim chance.
Yeah, I think ultimately there's a reason why they held off on him and would never clear him.
Yeah.
So.
Well, the thing is, like, because he recently did that, I think it was an interview with an Arizona paper, and talked about his frustrations with the WWE testing place and how that New York test and the other tests that he did and the Arizona Cardinals doctors all cleared him.
Yeah.
And how that's very frustrating to him that these major athletic doctors had cleared him. And, you know, we had thought that, oh, that side was over, that he was over that, but apparently he's not.
No.
And, I mean, how could you? Especially for him, to watch something like the Cruiserweight Classic with one of your best friends and Brian Kendrick having such a good time, and get to see someone like Kota Ibushi, who I'm not sure if he's ever wrestled or not.
I don't have a definitive answer on that one.
So, like, I'm sure, like, stuff like that isn't easy for Brian.
Yeah.
And then, yeah, here we are now.
Yeah. I think ultimately he will wrestle again. I don't know when. I don't know against who. And I don't know how it'll play out. But I think Brie Bella is going to be a big, big factor in all of this. And I think Brian loves her enough that he'll make the right choice at the end of the day.
Mm-hmm.
So Daniel Bryan keeps popping up on our radar of just someone like, will he or won't he?
Maybe he'll face Brock Lesnar for Shane McMahon.
God, no, please, no, 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 couldn't watch it.
Let's talk a little bit, I don't think so either, but a little bit more on The Miz. What do you do with him now from here? Because really, this was an eye-opener for everyone. I think there's a lot of people that have not liked The Miz. You and I have been on this Miz train all year. That we have, ever since that little bit of a little feud on SmackDown that he was having with AJ Styles when he knocked out his tooth, and we were like kind of back in the Miz train at that point. Where do you put The Miz now? I don't think you can simply put him against an Apollo Crews again, but I don't really see anyone on SmackDown that's really going to be there for him. The feud, I guess it would be Apollo Crews again, but if it's a second feud against Apollo Crews, you got to almost think that's a win for yeah. Apollo Crews. And I think that if you do the Bryan thing, we'll get down the road, but I think with the Intercontinental title in him, he needs to beat Honky Tonk's record.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. He definitely, that's one thing I definitely agree on. I mean, you look at The Miz's work. He is John Cena light in a lot of ways. Not a lot of people like him. He's decent in the ring. He does all your PR and corporate stuff. He will wake up early. He will go to bed late. And he will do what you need for the company. He is John Cena light in a lot of ways.
Yeah, so, but he never gets the recognition that Cena has. And he's been busting his ass for that company for so long. I look at the SmackDown title, and I'm like, it's just too bad that he's kind of in a bad... If he was on Raw and he had cut that, I would have given him a solid argument to be the Universal Champion right now, to be honest. But if you look on SmackDown, I think the stars are aligning so perfectly for AJ versus Randy. Mm-hmm. And, I mean, AJ's the number one heel in the company right now, and I think Randy's the number one face in the company as far as overness.
Yeah.
That's a word. And I just don't think you mess around with that.
Nope.
Maybe you can have AJ and Miz have a feud over the title, but he's either beating Dean at Backlash or the pay-per-view after that, and then I don't have AJ lose that until WrestleMania to Randy Orton.
Well, I don't know if I'd even have him lose to Orton, but you know, if there's a guy that could win the Royal Rumble that could challenge him.
Well, that's the thing, too. We could have Finn Balor, who unfortunately got injured, and we'll talk about who injured him, but we have to wonder if he does win. Will it be a decision of choosing which side he wants to be on? And if he does, will he choose the guy that left the club?
And does that mean he takes Anderson and Gallows with him and we get that feud heading into...
There's a lot of hanging fruit there, though.
Oh, yeah. But The Miz has done great work. It's a shame that he's just not in a spot to be considered, okay, let's give the ball to Miz again and let it run with
him. You can make that Intercontinental title mean what it used to mean, right?
Look at Bobby Fish in ROH. He even said it. It doesn't matter who has the world heavyweight, the ROH championship. Mm-hmm. This TV title means something because I hold it.
I like what The Miz has done with the never-ending title ring kind of build-up that he's done. It's the Miz, you know, like the last, he had that big run with the world title and he really fell off, and they tried to put him with Ric Flair, and they tried to put some array with him and nothing really fit. And then he had that nice little build up. And ever since he's been back with Maurice on TV, he's been great. He's one of the top guys in the company. He's a top three heel. Or am I crazy? Okay. So number one is AJ.
Yeah.
Who's number two?
Seth?
Okay. Seth. Who's number three? He's ahead of Bray.
Yeah.
You take him much more seriously than Bray Wyatt. It'd be KO, but we'll see what happens on Monday Night Raw with that. But let's just say he's in the top five at least.
Yeah.
He's up there. He's definitely propelled himself up there. I think right now... I can't speak for you personally, but at the end of the year we do our most improved. I think right now there's two things I can't see changing, and that's MVP being AJ Styles and most improved being The Miz. I just can't see either one of those changing for handing out the award.
No, neither. There could be some tweaks and changes for sure at one point, but for now, I don't disagree.
I mean, I think Kevin Owens, you know, maybe if... We'll get into that in a second here. He still has a chance because he's just so great. And Seth always has a chance. And you never know, maybe Roman Reigns changes their mind, but doubtful. But respect to The Miz and shouts to Talking Smack, man, because that show, it's a soundbite after soundbite. I think every week now, like, one of us will be watching it and the other will miss it. And he'll be like, hey, you need this segment from Talking Smack. This week it was The Miz. Last week you didn't get to talk about what John Cena talked about as much, about him saying people that have came for a spot, and we've only really came up with two in Punk and Randy Orton.
Yeah.
Brian maybe had the chance, but Brian never really got it. Like, he never had the full opportunity like Randy did and like Punk did. I think Punk came the closest.
Oh, absolutely. Punk came the closest.
And I think, you know, I think Finn's a guy, when he gets back, absolutely has a chance. And I think Bailey has a chance for other reasons.
Yep.
But we will see that when we get her back, when we get more of her. And she debuted this week, so let's get into Bayley really quick here.
Yeah, let's get to Monday Night Raw. You know, good pop for Bayley. Crowd happy to see her. Good way to introduce her. Sasha's clearly hurt, so
yeah,
she's out of the fold for a little bit. Perfect time to have Bayley show up.
Not suspended.
Yeah.
Like everyone thought she would be. Yeah.
So you got Bayley in. I really like how they introduced her. The wacky wavy
inflatable tube men.
Tube men are fantastic, and it's great to see them on there. Mm-hmm. I think this is the right thing to do. Ultimately, I think this will lead to a Sasha versus Bayley at WrestleMania. But I think when you have different contrasting people, Charlotte's been doing a great job as a heel, by the way.
Mm-hmm. She really makes you. I don't like Charlotte. Like I respect her as a wrestling performer, but I don't like her, and she makes me not like her as a heel. Like I want to see her get beat.
Yep.
And that's good for people like us that are in the know and all that kind of stuff that you make us hate you. Like that's really good.
Yeah, and she's doing a great job. But her and Bayley are two polar opposite people, and I think their feud for the time being is going to be a lot of fun. And having Bayley on the main roster is something well deserved, and she has absolutely busted her ass to get to this point.
She has.
She's earned it.
Does she win the championship at Clash of Champions?
No, I don't think so. I think there's
Hell in a Cell then.
Yeah, at one point, I think if anything, depending on when, it'll be Hell in a Cell. It'll be a triple threat: Sasha, Bayley, right. Charlotte.
Do Sasha win it back there, and then that's kind of a turn from Sasha at that point.
Yeah, there's a little bit of a turn, and then the slow burn to WrestleMania, where Sasha takes on Bayley on the main roster at WrestleMania. So we got Daniel Bryan and Sasha Banks again versus Bayley at WrestleMania. Joel? Pardon?
We could.
It's a situation where I think it's going to be a lot of fun and good on Bayley.
Yeah, no, I totally agree with you, Joel.
So what else happened on Raw that stood out to you? Oh, I know.
Well, they gave the Roman Reigns is back, apparently.
Yeah. Oh, good old Roman. I was so bought into the super kick code breaker. I was like, that's it. Roman's not going. Yeah. Roman's not going. Oh, Roman's going. Here's the thing that I sit there and I go. From what I gathered, Finn was supposed to feud with KO and then feud with KO and Chris Jericho. That was ultimately the plan heading in for the next couple months. Now, with Balor's injury, which we'll get to in a little bit, Balor's injury has changed the plans and re-elevated Rollins and
Roman.
I mean, I don't know who's going to win that triple threat. I thought at one point it was Kevin Owens versus Seth Rollins when Michael Cole says, next week we'll have KO versus Seth Rollins for the WWE Universal title. And he pauses for a minute. I'm like, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap, holy crap. And then they add three other names, and they reveal that Big Cass is competing against Rusev, and Roman is against Jericho. I was a little sad.
Yeah, it wasn't great, man.
Shoutouts to Sammy, just because that's all tied into here. Great, great worker, made everyone think he busted his leg up. Sammy deserves a little bit more rub than he gets, and always want to tip my hat to the fellow Canadian.
For sure. That's a guy, he could be used so much better with Miz, you know, for that Intercontinental title, I think. And it's a shame that he's not.
Yeah. Maybe he goes for the U.S. title now, because it looks like Roman's done with Rusev.
But, so here we're going to talk about that world title now, I guess.
Yeah.
My thinking is, so we had that KO program originally set up. I think maybe they're making us all think that Roman's going to win. And then Russo's going to come out, screw over Roman. Because they just had a big post today like saying Roman is obsessed with the U.S. title or something.
Yeah.
So, and like, I don't know where Ruru could go. Except for maybe with Sammy, like you had mentioned.
Yeah.
So what my thinking is that Rusev is going to come out and screw over KO. And And that KO will get the pin, and that KO will feud with Seth, and that he'll face Seth at Clash of Champions, and then Jericho will somehow help him and screw it over or something, and I think Seth gets it or something will happen, or it's a close call or something, and they'll break up, and then it'll come into a three-way and put Seth into that spot.
Yeah.
Because where was Seth going to go? We don't know where even Seth was going to go before all this.
No. I think ultimately, because here's the thing. You put the tie, I think they're in Texas next week.
Okay.
I'm not 100% sure. Why would you put the title on Roman this early again? Just no. It's not the, you haven't successfully rebuilt Roman Reigns. He will be a WWE Universal Champion. We fully are accepting of that.
But well, we're not accepting. We're just not knowledgeable.
Knowledgeable, yeah. That's probably the better word. We know it's coming.
Yeah.
But here's the thing. You have to rehab him still. He is someone that has been hurt. The booking, the crowd reactions, everything about him just hasn't clicked still. He's trying to be The Rock, and it's not working. You gotta pull him away from that title, because he gets that title, you're gonna have a lot of upset fans, because now he is a three-time world heavyweight WWE World Heavyweight Champion and a one-time Universal Champion. So technically, he's won the title four times.
Yeah, I don't think he's gonna win anymore. I've kind of reserved the thought of him winning now. I think that either Seth or KO is winning it now.
I'm living in the world where Roman Reigns wins, and
I just don't know where they go with Rusev, and there's so much there. They still do with Rusev. They can always come back to Roman. You know?
Yeah.
And I think if you want to get a buzz into Monday Night Football, which is this is the last Raw, I believe, until Monday Night Football or second last. I think it's actually maybe the last. Yeah, it's the last before Monday Night Football comes back. So you need a buzz going to that first show. And KO is something new and something fresh. And he is a buzz as you go into the Monday Night Football week. Then that's something you really need to have.
Yeah.
That's something that they will not have if Roman is the champion.
Yeah. Got a lot of people going, oh, this guy again? Because, I mean, look at the reaction he's been getting. He's getting booed. And he's even getting booed by casual fans. So
I mean, I guess I get the idea that Roman's a known name, so maybe that'll bring people in during football. But it's going to be really hard, man. You don't have a John Cena on Monday Night Raw now. You don't have Randy Orton on Monday Night Raw now. They should have spent more of the summer building up stars to be in prominent positions, like a Cesaro, like a Sammy, or a KO.
Yeah.
And I think that idea was to have Finn that, but those other guys should have been built up good enough. And they weren't. The one they did build up was AJ Styles, and he's on the other show. I mean, SmackDown, you want to see ratings go up, it'll be those, because people that don't watch Monday Night Football, like, well, I'm not going to watch Raw now, and I'll just watch SmackDown. Yeah. I think that will definitely be something that happens to most people.
Yeah. And I mean, if you tell me AJ Styles is your world champion, when AJ Styles wins a title that The Rock, Bret Hart, John Cena, Shawn Michaels, Ric Flair have all held, I'm going to be over the moon excited, and I will tune into that.
And that's a known name, too, whether people realize it or not. Like, people know the name AJ Styles because people did used to watch TNA.
Yeah.
So they hear the name AJ Styles, like, oh, yeah, I know that guy. But they haven't built up Kevin Owens enough. But really, anyone in this match, I don't think, like, Seth is probably the biggest drawing name, I would say, so far.
Yeah.
That people know because of his appearance on SportsCenter and First Take and stuff recently. Seth is building up a name, but I think you need to do something exciting right now just to keep the casual wrestling fans interested that are choosing between both, like myself. I'm choosing between Monday Night Football and Monday Night Raw Live. What am I going to choose?
Football.
I'm going to choose football right now. But if KO's champion, I'll be like, huh, I would want to peek in a little bit more.
Yeah. Well, he's so darn entertaining.
And that's the thing, too. He can do everything for you. And I think it's something new. It's something different. And with what him and Jericho are doing, I feel like I feel like him and Chris Jericho are at that level that Jericho and Michaels were getting to, where you have a nice long feud here. Like, I know Jericho is going full force with Fozzy, but I think this is the best time to get into Chris Jericho.
Mm-hmm.
With what happened backstage, Joel, I think Vince loves that kind of stuff. And what kind of stuff am I talking about?
I don't know. I think...
Do you want me to explain it, or do you want to explain it?
Basically, no one would tell Jericho if the ending to Brock and Orton was a work.
Mm-hmm.
So Randy comes to Gorilla, Orton comes to Gorilla, Jericho comes to Gorilla concerned about Orton's health.
It's his friend.
Yeah, he tries to ask Michael Hayes, what's going on? Is it a work or what's going on? And Hayes says, I don't know, or don't worry about it.
Yeah.
So Jericho's already kind of a little, what's going on? So he says that's bullshit, just as the Beast Incarnate walks in. And Brock apparently tells Jericho to shut up or something.
Mind your own business, which was kind of funny, because what did Dolph Ziggler say to AJ Styles when they had a backstage brawl?
Mind your own business?
Yeah, that's not a coincidence.
Oh, boy. Oh, there needs to be a TV show on the backstage stuff of pro wrestling.
Anyways.
So this escalates and basically gets into a shoving match, pushing match. Foreheads go close to close, like basically are touching. Brock apparently says words that if they ever came out and revealed what he said, he'd be in a lot of hot water. So would WWE. And apparently Chris Jericho holds his own, and it comes down to Hunter breaks them up. They kind of separate. Then they go at it again, and then Vince comes running in going, it's a work, it's a work, and separates the two. And Chris Jericho has held his own against Goldberg and now Brock Lesnar.
Yeah, so break the walls down.
Yep. You don't want to mess with Chris Jericho, and Jericho has gained the reputation backstage as a badass.
Yep.
So,
good for Chris Jericho. The fact that you took on Brock Lesnar and Bill Goldberg, that's awesome.
It's the Canadian in him. That's what it is. It's because he's Canadian.
Probably. But Vince, at first Vince thought Jericho was starting shit.
Yeah.
And Hunter was pretty quick to be like, no, Jericho did this. And again, you know, we talk about the stuff with Booker T and Batista. Booker T got a title ring out of handling Batista and other guys have in the past, because Vince likes that kind of stuff. You know, it's Vince McMahon. He's weird and twisted, but he likes when guys get down and take their own. And I think he may have lost a little bit of respect for Brock for getting beat down by Jericho.
Yeah. Hey, to quote Kevin Nash, a vanilla midget.
Yep.
So
now we talk about CM Punk holding all this stuff in UFC. I wonder what Chris Jericho could have done. Shit. The hockey player in him, man. That's what it is. You're right. Yeah.
The hockey player and the Canadian in him. It's that.
Yeah.
Whatever he drinks just gives him the power to just. Like, props to him for sending it. I would be terrified. I'd run away.
Yeah.
Brock comes near me, I'm stepping, like, 10 feet away.
Mm-hmm.
I am a chicken.
So, I'm wondering now, like, and Jericho did not talk about it on his podcast this week that had the Real World's Johnny Bananas on the show. He talked about Finn Balor and the injury, and he kind of hinted at, like, so I'm going to talk about what everyone wants me to talk about. Finn Balor's injury. He's like, that's what you all wanted me to talk about, right? So he knows, but I don't think he's going to say anything for a while about it. And maybe he doesn't need to, you know?
Yeah.
So we'll see what happens.
It's one of those things where, you know, it's like you said, it's probably best that he leaves it be.
Yeah.
So, I think right now, just let the legend grow.
Yeah.
Because that's
as far as we know that he destroyed him, he beat him down, and Chris Jericho is just a legend, and I think, you know, he's going to be in a title program because of this. I don't know if he's going to win the title, but I think he should. I think he's done such good work this year. It reminds me so much of that 08 run, and I think this is the last big run for Chris.
Yeah.
That he deserves to be rewarded with one more championship. because technically he is a 7-time world champion.
Yeah.
But that one doesn't count in the reigns. I'd love if Hunter came out and was like, you know what? We're going to give you back that title. You're a 7-time champion.
I don't think it'll happen.
They should do it at the Hall of Fame, actually. Hey? Should have Hunter come down and be like, you know what? I'm going to give you that one. Now you're a 7-time champion.
Oh, I can't wait for Chris Jericho's Hall of Fame speech.
Who puts him in?
Oh,
Lance?
Yeah.
Yeah.
That would be where what I would pick to go with.
Yeah, I would think so.
But
so, yeah, I mean, that was I'll be honest, me and Joel after Sunday, we talked on Monday, we're like, "Yeah, we are pooped. We need a break." So, unless anything super big breaks, we're not going to talk about the week in professional wrestling. And then that story happens, and we're like, well, I guess we'll be doing a podcast.
Yep. That happened, Balor's injury, how that played out, and then talking smack. There was just, I think every week we say, nope, no podcast this week, and then something big will happen. We'll have something to talk about.
Yeah. And we have the CM Punk fight coming up. Have you seen the Evolution of Punk yet?
My life hasn't allowed me to yet, so soon.
He moved to Milwaukee.
Yeah?
Yeah, I didn't know that.
Oh yeah, he's gone all in, but apparently a teammate of his said he doesn't think Punk's gonna fare well. So
yeah, I mean he doesn't. They had a fight on the show, and you can tell him there, man. He is not used to. How do I word this correctly? He's still in wrestling mode. More yeah. or less, you know? Like, he is helped selling some of the punches. And you can tell. He's still got a few shots in there, but he leaves his guard up really a lot.
Yeah.
And I think that's going to be a major problem for him come the big fights.
Oh, yeah.
So we'll see, but it doesn't look really good for him right now. I hope that he fares well. And the question is, like, I mean, especially for all this that he's done, you know, like, all the moving and all the training and all the driving, and AJ Lee says something like she does not like watching him fight, but he got out of his fight and he was smiling. She's like, that's what I love to see. That's why it doesn't matter if he does good or bad. He's happy. And I think that's all we've been saying, right? Like, we don't give a crap if he does good or bad. I mean, it would help if he won for sure.
Yeah.
But he seems pretty happy about everything.
Yeah, he's found some peace. I do think one day, hopefully, he finds his peace with pro wrestling. But
yeah.
Right now, he seems to be happy from what I've seen and can gather. And, I mean, all the more power to him. Go out, chase a dream, try your best, give it all you got. And, I mean, eventually I'll have 2 episodes to watch of it, so I'll have an hour's worth of CM Punk to watch. It's just nice to know that I have a little bit of CM Punk programming that I can watch again, because you miss how entertaining the guy is, and you just kind of miss seeing, and you get really excited to see a peek into his life.
It's really not the same guy, though. It's a different guy. It's a very monotone guy.
Yeah.
Yeah. That's the weird thing. It's weird seeing AJ Lee and all of it, but we'll predict that fight as we get closer. What else happened on Raw? So we had AJ Lee, we had the title, and then Bully Ray Watch.
It's officially over, Josh.
Yeah.
It's okay, buddy.
Yeah. Wasted opportunities, man. Joel, what happened?
So, basically, we all thought, oh, the Dudleys are retiring. Bully Ray. It has to be Bully Ray. No. They beat up the Shining Stars. Then Anderson and Gallows beat them up. And it looks like the end, because there's some weird hinky stuff with contracts and stuff like that. And just there were talks of doing the Bully Ray, and now it's kind of died off. And it looks like the Dudleys are now, once again, no longer in WWE.
And their shirts are like half off or something?
Yeah, they were like $8-$9.
That's bizarre.
Yeah. Yeah. It's a shame. It's definitely a missed opportunity, but Anderson and Gallows basically are the ones to beat them up, so.
Which I guess I get, but I don't know. So, and we have thought that they had signed contracts back in, what, June?
Yeah. I heard there was something up where they agreed in principle but didn't put pen to paper.
Paper, yeah.
Yeah, and that caused problems, so.
Hmm.
Don't know.
Well, they're out of the company now. Yeah. Unless it's a work. And if it's a work, wow, that was a pretty elaborate one, guys.
Yeah, for Bully Ray, which I know you'll be happy to see.
Yeah, but I mean, the shirts are off, and I don't know. It's they took the WWE tags out of their Twitter.
Really? Yeah, okay, then they're done.
I mean, I don't know. I mean, if they are staying, that's pretty extensive shoot stuff, you know?
Yeah.
They're really going the extra mile, but I just feel like it's such a wasted opportunity. You know, you need badass heels on your team. And I mean, just even if you wanted to turn Kevin Owens face with this, having Kevin Owens feud with Bully Ray would have been a nice little hangover program for a few months.
Yeah.
But now that's gone. What else happened to Raw? That's about it, hey?
Yeah, that's pretty much the end of where things kind of ran there, but
Raw kind of has, I don't want to say sucked, but lackluster.
Yeah.
There's ups and there's downs. I mean, I look forward to seeing Bayley and no Cesaro match, which was interesting.
Yeah.
He wasn't too pleased, and apparently him and Sheamus were bumped off the card for the women six-woman tag match, which I can only think the only reason that happened was because of Eva. Because with Nikki, right?
Yeah.
If it was just Eva, you would assume that would not have happened, but we all know who Nikki Bella is sleeping with.
Yeah.
So that changes things when she comes out. Yeah. Although I thought she was great on SmackDown, which we'll get to in a second here.
Yeah. So SmackDown.
By the way, let's rate the, much like we rate movies and stuff, let's rate these shows every week now, Joel. Okay. What do you give Raw out of 10?
A 5.
I'm going to give it a 4. The highlights were Bayley, and the Jericho Reigns match was good, and the Sammy match with Seth was good, but there's much more negatives, like no Cesaro, Sammy losing again, the use of Neville, all that kind of stuff.
Yeah.
And just the use of the Dudleys.
Yeah, it's a shame how... Yeah, it's a 5. It's definitely a 5.
Let's move to SmackDown.
Woo! Beat up John Cena.
Beat up John Cena. AJ, I love what he's doing with the armband.
Yeah.
And using his headband. And it's just a nice little reminder that he took out John Cena.
Yeah.
And that eventually Cena will come back.
Yep.
So that's a nice little kind of side thing to know, like, John Cena's out there and he will be back sooner or later.
Yeah.
It's really perfect, like that.
Perfect wrestling booking 101.
Mm-hmm. Like, we all know that he's going to lose to Cena again. Well, for the first time, right? And we're fine with it now because he got the win that he did need. He got over the hump. So him losing to Cena, whatever. It's fine. As long as he doesn't lose the world title to him, I think we're in agreement that we're perfectly fine.
Yeah.
So AJ will be... He beat Dolph. And it's going to be Dean Ambrose versus AJ Styles going into Backlash. I think we both think that will be Dean winning that for now, but the title is coming AJ's way.
Oh, yeah. And I mean, hey, it's we live in a world where AJ Styles can be world champion.
This will be his third world championship match this year.
He's earned it. I mean, he's impressed Vince, and apparently, Vince had was angry at some people for what he believes could have been misinformation on AJ Styles and his microphone skill.
Josh. Yeah, he just wasn't. People had told him that when he had heard about AJ, he was told AJ's not very good. If AJ has a weakness, it's on the mic. And Vince has been pretty impressed with AJ Styles' skills on the mic.
AJ's just showing why he's one of the best wrestlers in the world.
Yeah, he really is.
Now, another big thing for SmackDown. Well, we both kind of said our piece on what we think will happen the first time around, AJ and Dean. The other big thing to me is we got blue titles.
I like the titles.
I think they fit. Not going to complain about either or.
Would like the name to change because you have a Universal, a World, and then these are just SmackDown.
Yeah.
It's pretty low standards.
Yeah. Well, they don't have SmackDown written on them, so these names could probably change.
Yeah, that's worth thinking.
Who will be the first tag team champions on SmackDown?
I am going to go with...
Please say Vaudevillains. Please say Vaudevillains.
I think it'll be Slater and Rhino.
Yay!
Because I think American Alpha and the Usos are too obvious. I think Slater and Rhino are beating the Usos, and it'll be Slater and Rhino versus American Alpha. And then I think they will beat the American Alpha because I just think that the Uso turn is coming.
Yeah.
And it'll start a fully come to the end with Rhino and Heath Slater beating the two of them.
Yeah. That's actually not bad booking at all. I mean, the crowd's really getting behind Slater.
Mm-hmm.
And I recently read a little post from someone on the wrestling subreddit that they were talking with Slater, and Slater had said that he knows he's not going to be a world champion, but he knows that he can be entertaining and entertain people, and that's his goal. So that's kind of, you're seeing that. And originally he had pitched an idea to Vince about doing the opposite of Randy Orton's Legend Killer, having Legends destroy him.
And that's what they kind of were doing.
Yeah. So he's kind of taken it in a run. But, I mean, I think Slater deserves, like, a little pat on the back. Like, he'll never be more than an entertainer.
You want to talk about baby faces, man. He's the top of the heap of baby faces.
Yep. People like Heath Slater. Like, he's got his 7 kids to feed and his pool to build.
Yeah. Underground.
Yep. Underground pool. I think of the draft and I think of how it ended with Heath Slater sitting in the middle.
My question is, who's the other team?
I don't know.
Because it was apparently the original team was Hawkins and Rhino, right?
Yeah.
So obviously not. Because it went from a 6-man tournament to an 8. So are we calling up the Revival?
Maybe.
Are we calling up the Powers of Pain? Who else is the tag team down there? Like, Gargano and Ciampa aren't coming up.
Yeah. They're going anywhere. They're going to Raw.
Yes, because of Cruiserweight.
Yeah.
So I don't know who the other tag team could be. Could it be the Dudleys?
Suddenly they decide, it's possible. I don't know. It's going to be very interesting. I don't know. I really don't know, but I can tell you who I think's going to win.
Who do you think's going to win?
I think the Usos are going to win.
So you think the Usos, you think the opposite of me then?
Yeah.
Okay, tell me why.
Usos are going to screw over American Alpha, cheat, and then Alpha chases the Usos.
So what do you think the match at Backlash is?
Usos versus American Alpha.
So you don't think Slater makes it to Backlash?
No.
Okay.
He'll be there, but he won't.
I just think the having that close, the story of it.
Yeah, I don't think it'll happen, but I mean, it'd be a nice story. But
I think the obvious. It's kind of like the Cruiserweight, right? Like everyone thinks it's going to be Kota versus Zack. I think everyone thinks it's going to be Alpha versus Usos. So I just think it's too obvious. So I'm changing it. Much like the women, which you can go to also. Like I think everyone thinks it's one or two women, right?
Yeah.
They probably think it's Nikki or Becky, and I could see them swerving it and putting on Natty or Carmella or Bliss.
Yeah, Bliss would not be a bad
one. Just to swerve you out. I think they may put it on Carmella, though.
Yeah, it seems to be kind of their positioning, which, you know, say what you will about Carmella, that's a big, big, here you go. Here's the ball, run with it, and that's all.
You were very critical of her on Sunday.
Yeah.
She was the worst part of that women's match. And look, she's got a long way to go, but I thought what she did with Nikki this week was beyond impressive.
Yeah.
She did a really good job this week.
Gotta establish some heel presence.
And I think she's better as a heel. I think she kind of got stuck in that Enzo and Cass mode.
Yeah.
And I'm glad they've changed it.
Yeah, she needed something a little bit different and fresh, and I mean, she got it. So now,
yeah,
time to run with it and see where it goes.
Exactly. Who do you have winning the? If you had to pick one woman, who would you have winning that the belt right now?
It would be Becky.
You think Becky's going to win, or you would have Becky win?
I would have Becky win, but I think it's probably going to be the Bella.
Right.
The Bella of the ball is going to win.
I can also see maybe, I think the one I just don't really have faith in winning it is Naomi.
Yeah.
And I think she's at the bottom and Natty's right next to her.
Yeah. It's a shame because Natty would be a good first champion.
For sure. They could surprise us. I like the idea of the six-pack challenge. I was kind of hoping for the championship scramble because we haven't had that for so long.
Yeah. I was never big on the scramble, but I would enjoy a good old six-pack challenge.
Brian Kendrick was champion for 3 minutes.
Woo!
He doesn't go in the record books, but he technically was a WWE champion. Never forget.
He did it before Brian did.
What else happened on SmackDown? Randy Orton, Bray Wyatt.
Yep.
Great promo by Randy. He looked like $1 million despite losing to the Beast.
Yeah. Well, that was the plan. Basically, they went with an ending they didn't tell Randy what the match was going to be until he arrived at the building on Sunday.
Right.
So he thought he was having a regular, plain old wrestling match. And Brock
told him... And they're like, no, he's going to dent your head in.
Yeah. Well, apparently Brock told him, I know how to take my elbows and graze it across your head to cut you open.
Oh, yeah. That was a graze. Thanks, yeah. Brock.
Yeah. That was...
It's a light graze.
I was like, yeah, that wasn't a light graze, Brock. But, I mean, Randy's top babyface on SmackDown. Vince is high up on him. This is the highest he's been on Randy in a long time.
Mm-hmm. I loved it, man. I think the RKO out of nowhere, the meme, I think that really helped him.
Yeah, that helped him. And he just seems very, he seems very relaxed and calm.
He seems happy.
Yeah. That's the perfect word.
I think a while ago, if you would have said, you and I had this talk off air about guys we would go and want to have a beer with, I wouldn't mind having a beer with Randy Orton now. Before, I would have been terrified of him, but he just seems happy. And I think maybe his new wife and his daughter and everything, and he had a whole year with them. I think he's refreshed too, you know?
Yeah.
He's a refreshed character. He had that time away and he got to be with his family. And I think that did a lot for Randy personally.
Yeah. Oh, yeah. And, I mean, I'm run with it. It seemed like he's a good locker room leader right now, and it's good times.
It is. I look forward to seeing more Randy Orton on my TV, and I haven't said that for a long time.
Yeah. Oh, yeah.
The only problem is I like Bray. I really do, but it's one of the worst programs that Bray could go into right now. It's like, Bray needs to start winning? I feel like we've been saying this for 2 years, and I don't think that's going to happen versus Randy, because Randy is on a collision course with AJ Styles.
Yeah, so Bray Wyatt, I'm sorry, but you're being sacrificed to the RKO out of nowhere.
Yeah.
What else was I going to say? What else happened that stands out?
SmackDown. I don't think too much else happened. I mean, we got more Brock Lesnar stuff with Shane.
Ooh, speaking of Shane.
Which Stephanie fined him $500. So it looks like that will be either a proxy for Shane to use, but more likely we're getting Shane and Brock at WrestleMania.
Yeah. No, it's either going to be at Survivor Series or Royal Rumble. One of the
two. Okay, I'm fine with that then. Who cares? That's fine.
Yeah. Brock Lesnar, Shane O'Mac. Will Shane do anything stupid?
Are you serious, or is that a joke question?
That's kind of a joke question.
Yeah. I think he's going to take 30 suplexes.
I don't... That guy's going to be in a wheelchair. He's just not going to be walking.
Mm-hmm.
And as much as they say everything was a work and everything was in control with the Brock and Orton, I think Brock slipped a little in the control department.
Yeah, I mean... I showed it to our Fresh Take co-finder, Devin Seal, who's not a big wrestling fan, but, you know, we enjoy his opinion on wrestling. And he only was really scared and really only took two things as super serious. The elbows, he knew, he said that was gory, but he's like, that was obviously a plan. And which you and I at the time didn't. So, you know, it's interesting to get an outside thought on all this, you know, yeah. Perspective. And so he didn't think that, but he thought what he clubbed on him, kind of like a gorilla, that's yeah. The part that he kind of had like a take back and like, ugh, that's terrifying.
Yeah. And, you know, I think Brock was in control for the most part, but I think there mm-hmm. may have been a little bit of a slip. So,
for
Brock
sure.
Lesnar versus Shane McMahon.
I'm fine with it, man. Yeah. I know Mo, who's not on the show today. I'll talk for Mo. This is a travesty. This is terrible. This is awful. It's probably what Mo would be saying right now.
Maybe.
Yeah. I don't think Mo would be very happy about it.
No. I'm a little bit more like, but there's not
like what does it matter? Like, who cares? Like, I'm kind of getting sick of Brock Lesnar matches in the first place.
Yeah.
Like, it's just not fun anymore. They're not fun. They're just beatdowns. And at first, when he did it against John Cena, it was like, oh, this is something different.
Yeah.
But honestly, like, especially when you hear like Dean say like, oh, I wanted to do this and this, and I think Brock's kind of an asshole.
Yeah. Yeah.
And I think he's a bully, and I think like he's just not going to work with certain people.
Nope.
Like Taker, he worked with because he respected Taker. But you want Kevin Owens matches and Samoa Joe matches, but if he doesn't respect them and he doesn't like Samoa Joe, for example, like if Joe goes to him like, yeah, I want to do this spot and this spot, and he's like, I'm going to do what I want to do because I'm Brock Lesnar, then who cares about that match?
Yeah. Suddenly it loses its luster.
It's lost its luster. Like, when was the last really good Brock Lesnar match? That was actually entertaining. It was the Triple Threat, right?
Yeah, it was the Triple Threat, but it was also the last single Brock Lesnar match that I can say was a lot of fun was against a certain Second City Savior.
Yeah. Well, who did he face at WrestleMania that year?
Hunter, I believe.
No, he faced Undertaker. Did he not?
No.
He did face Undertaker the next year.
Yeah, the next year.
Because that was Punk's last year.
Yeah.
So, yeah, he faced Undertaker that next year. That wasn't really a good match either, though.
Mm.
Like, it was a pretty forgettable match. It's just the ending that's not forgettable. It's when that three goes down.
I'll never forget that.
Yeah, it's still in shock.
Yeah.
So, yeah, I don't know, man. I'm kind of sick of Brock Lesnar.
Yeah?
Unpopular opinion alert, but, yeah, I'm kind of sick of Brock Lesnar. I don't think he's a good human being. I think he's a bully. And, yeah. That's my hot take.
Not a hot take that I don't disagree with, so.
Yeah, I think if he was a lot more cooperative, and I think he's just in a pissy mood because he lost that UFC fight. That's what he wanted to do. And that's fine. If you love to do something and it was taken away from you, I would be pissed too. And that's what happened to him. He loved the fight in UFC. And he won, and he did great, but guess what? Maybe don't cheat.
Yeah.
Because this isn't the WWE. You're not a part-time performer. You will get caught because USADA is one of the best drug testing places in the world, and they busted him. He got caught, and now he has to live with the circumstances of it.
Yeah. I do not disagree. I think we've had this conversation multiple times, but I don't disagree with you on this at all. I think you're absolutely right. And this is
I think it opened our eyes more this week with Brock.
Yeah.
And, you know, like, this is a guy that doesn't really have that shouldn't be grumpy, man. I mean, we never really bitch about this with The Rock. Because The Rock comes in, he's friendly, and who hates The Rock, right?
Vin Diesel.
I think that's a work, though, to be honest.
WrestleMania 33, that's the dream.
So, yeah, He has his part-time schedule. He barely has to do anything. He comes out with Paul, and all he has to do is stand by him. He should be a pretty happy guy, man. He's getting paid a shit ton of money to do not that much, to work three times a year at the most.
Yeah.
He doesn't have to go on the road. He gets private jets to fly him out from his farm in Regina. These other guys are busting their ass. Finn Balor's been busting his ass down at NXT to get to this moment, and then Unfortunately, he works with Seth Rollins, which I'm going to translate to. He gets hurt. He loses his dream, and Seth would do anything to bust him. Finn would do anything. I love the story, too, of Finn. It was on Good Morning America, saw the one-armed man, and that just changed his whole perspective on the injury. Really powerful story, and I look forward to the 24 on Finn. But guys like that bust their ass, and then Brock comes along and does all the interviews. He does the SummerSlam, and it's just like, I just don't have time for him.
Yep. Oh, I don't disagree. But I think it's time to transition to our other little friend, who we had such high praises for, and now we're a little bit worrisome on.
So, we called Bret Hart, get off my lawn.
Yeah.
Bret, I'm sorry. You were right. We were wrong.
Yeah. Yep.
This is why you're the best there is, the best there was, and the best there ever will be. You were right. We were wrong. Seth Rollins is a little dangerous in the ring. It's fair enough.
I can't even argue with him. It's like, this is another guy that did the injury. Does the injury kind of fall on Balor as well with how he positioned his arm?
I think it does, because Dean had taken that power bomb, and you just have to take, it's kind of like the Styles Clash, right?
Yeah.
If you do nothing, that's better than doing anything. And Finn swinging his arms, I think, for more effect of the move.
Yeah.
Or, like, it's also like, if you're getting powerbombed into a barricade, it's kind of hard to know what to do, right? So I think Finn was just trying to grasp something, but there's no right way to take it. Bottom line is, Finn is out probably to the Royal Rumble. Sting may never wrestle again, although if you listen to that JBL interview, he certainly wants to come back. And all these guys are retiring and then coming back, Joel.
Yeah, it's just how it works.
Shawn Michaels next.
We can only dream.
So I don't think Seth's an unsafe worker, but I do think that he needs to stop using that move, because there's no reason for the buckle bomb.
Well, that Nita Cena. That still sticks out. The Nita Cena.
Yeah. There's that too. Shit.
Yeah.
I don't know that, man.
I think he needs to clean things up a bit. I think he needs to tighten his game up a bit. I mean, at the end of the day, we talk about the Usos being told to stop doing the suicide dives because it hurts them.
Mm-hmm.
You got to pull Seth to the side and tell him, you got to clean your game up a bit. You're a great worker. You're a great wrestler. But protect the guy next to you. You got to.
I think a lot of these moves could have worked in Ring of Honor, but you're not in Ring of Honor. And it's kind of like what The Miz said. Like, maybe I work a cowardly style, but there's a reason I've never really been injured.
Yeah.
Because I work a safe style. And I think that's a fair criticism of some of these guys, you know, Neville's and Seth's, Daniel Bryan's of the world. Like, they work this really aggressive style, and, you know, you're going to pay the price. And guys like The Miz, they work a safer style, and it's paid a detriment to them.
Yep. They can still walk around and talk.
Mm-hmm. So, I mean, I don't totally disagree with that notion. Hopefully, you know, like, again, like you said, Seth cleans it up and makes it a little bit better, but we will see. Also, what did you give SmackDown?
I'd give that a 7.
Yeah, same. 7-8.
Yeah.
Pretty good episode.
So we've hit on that. We've hit on that.
Nothing on NXT as the overall show. This worked to really report. Ty Dillinger's back.
Yay!
10. I give that a 10.
10. 10.
Yeah.
CWC. I finished it just an hour or so ago. Well, hour and a half or so ago. And my pick lost, Josh.
He did.
But
tear in the eye. But how great was that show? Because it was three different showcases of what a cruiserweight could be.
Yep. Oh yeah. That show's getting an 8 from me. Easy.
That show's getting a 9 for me. Just for the Gulak and Zack Sabre technical wrestling showcase. If you want to be a technical wrestler, watch Drew Gulak versus Zack Sabre Jr.
That teaches you all you need to know. Perkins and Gargano are the perfect combination. Just a mesh of everything.
Yeah, and that first match, too, was brilliant. I love that first match so much.
Swan is going to be so much fun when he finally is on the main
roster. I love the luchador that was in him. Yeah. Which luchador was that again?
I don't know, Josh.
Yeah, there's a lot of them in there. But he was good. From Puerto Rico, I think they should sign him.
Yeah. Speaking of that, whose names were shown on Monday Night Raw, Josh?
Noam Dar, who I'm still not totally buying into, but, I mean, I see the talent there, and that's, to me, was the most impressive name to see on there, because the other ones, you know, they've had time down in, Rich Swann down in NXT, and then TJ Perkins and TNA, so more known names. But I was very surprised to see Noam Dar on there.
Yeah.
So that shows you, you know, you've been very high in Dar, and I just haven't gotten there yet. But that shows you what they think about Mr. Dar.
Yeah. One name missing from there.
Kota Ibushi.
What's going on, Josh? Give us a little update on Kota Ibushi.
So according to Dave Meltzer, it sounds like he came to America for a reason. And that's, he wanted to wrestle in North America and in WWE, but I don't think he wants to wrestle as part of NXT. He wants to be on the main roster. I don't know if they agree with that. I don't know what the whole deal is, but I mean, we keep on seeing him at these shows. He was a takeover, for example. One has to wonder, what's the deal with Mr. Ibushi?
Yeah, I mean, he's around everything. And it's kind of hard to sit there and go, you know, you can't deny suddenly you see Ibushi here, there, and everywhere. It's kind of like, okay, what's going on? And
yeah.
There was someone else backstage as well at SummerSlam by the name of Okada, the current IWGP.
The Rainmaker.
Yeah.
Yeah.
Seth used the Rainmaker at SummerSlam, which I was a little like, ooh.
He did, yeah.
Yeah. But, you know, Cruiserweight Classic, lots of fun. We're in the final eight. Looking like Perkins is going to be the man that I think takes it all home, but...
So you're going to... I'm still going to go with Kota.
Yeah.
But I think Perkins is a nice, safe bet. I think Noam Dar is a wild horse now. I wonder if they show these videos just to throw us off.
Yeah, it could be, because they knew how much people had predicted the Zack Kota, so...
I mean, we still could get Zack and Kota.
Yeah.
Like, we very well still could get Zack Sabre versus Kota, and then we'll see what happens. I mean, there's no Cedric Alexander, and we have to assume that Cedric Alexander is going to be on that Cruiserweight show.
Yeah.
So that's really an inevitability to me, personally.
Yeah, he's definitely a guy that can have a very good spot in the company.
In the Cruiserweights, we have a date now, Joel, the 19th.
Yep.
That'll be 5 days after the champion has been crowned.
Yep.
So it's getting exciting, man. I'm very excited about what's going to come from the Cruiserweight Classic.
We are zeroing in on the end of this tournament. It's been a wild ride, and we're just getting ready for the end to be near, and God, the possibilities.
They're going to be great. And what else do we have? I think that's the week that was.
Yep. Well, no, because sounds like Del Rio's done with the company. We will not see him back. But Paige
Shocker.
Has a contract until 2019, so...
She's not going anywhere.
Nope. And the final bit of news, Josh. This just broke. It's earth-shattering news. It was Vince McMahon's birthday this week.
Yay! Happy birthday, Vince.
Crazy old man lives another year.
Also, I guess we should also note that it's been pretty much confirmed that Ronda will not be fighting this year now. And GSP is ready to fight. Conor McGregor may be suspended, and the Diaz brothers are crazy people.
Yeah. Apparently Diaz got into a fight with a bunch of people.
Nick Diaz, not Nate.
Oh, it was Nick.
Yeah, who just got off suspension.
Well, good times. Good times.
They're solid lads, aren't they?
Oh yeah. Just grade A class A. They kill both of us, but so please don't. But yeah.
So here we go.
That's the week. I think that Vince McMahon birthday was the cherry on the cake. What do you think Vince did for his birthday?
Well, for Vince's birthday, who knows? You know, I'm not going to lie to you people. This is what's going to happen. I did three cuts in the Vince McMahon voice, and Joel said, nope, we're not allowed to use any of them. Apparently, even this podcast, like the WWE, has gone PG. So Joel, I have Vince here, right next to me. And he has something to say to you. It's his birthday. So he has something to say to you. It's a present that he wanted to say to you as a producer of One Fall, because it's his birthday. So I figured, sure, I'll let Vince McMahon on the podcast. He's a friend, you know?
Yeah, he's...
He did hit me in a chair that one time. It was weird that we're friends still, but nonetheless, Vince, you want to come on? Yeah. So just be nice, okay? Because, you know, Joel's the ultimate babyface. It's my birthday, goddammit. Come on, pal, let me go on. Hey, pal, Joel, how's it going?
Oh, boy. It's going pretty good. How are you, Vince?
You're fired!
All right, well, I'm going to take off.
Vince! I told you! I'm sorry, folks. Joel is not fired. Yes, he is. He's fired. Nope. Vince, he's not. It's my birthday, goddammit. Sorry, folks. I'm going to try to handle Mr. McMahon right here. He's had a long week. Try to hold things down. He's still trying to understand that AJ Styles can get a promo. Goddamn, that kid can get a good promo. Goddammit, pal.
I have a question. You know what?
Joel, don't pin anything on, Joel. Leave it alone, man.
Why is Roman Reigns still in the main event? Why did Roman Reigns go before your new Universal title?
You know why? I don't talk to people that are fired.
Okay. I just wanted to know what's the pal?
You want to know, pal?
I just Joel. Know what you see in Roman Reigns.
You want to know why?
Why?
Fuck you, that's why.
There we go. That's the Vince McMahon we know and love.
Okay, Vince, I'm going to walk you out. You know, yeah.
Straight job.
I'm here, Dad. Well, Hunter's here to pick him up. So I think Hunter's going to take him to the birthday party, and maybe I'll go along. And, yeah, this got really weird. So until next time, cheers. And enjoy the day, people.
Awesome! I came to the